Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Let's just pray, shall we? Father, we thank you that you are Lord of our lives. Thank you that you have purchased our lives with your blood and that our lives aren't our own. Father, I thank you for every person that is here, every person that's part of the church. I thank you that you called us here together to be a body of people that lay our lives down for each other, that really live the New Testament in a way that you want believers, you want Christians to live it. I thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit to enable us to live a life that is totally impossible in the natural, in our own efforts. But you've given us your Holy Spirit, your power, to enable us to respond to you, to say yes and amen to you, to be obedient to you, Father. I thank you for every person here, Father. I thank you for every heart, every life, the way that so many people just give of themselves and do so many things that are unseen that lots of others aren't aware of. And Father, you see the times that people spend praying and spend their own time and finances, and they go out to meet people, greet people, reach people, serve people, love people. Father, you see all the things that go on that maybe a few people that know them know what's going on, but many of us don't know what each other's up to and the lives that we're going to, the people that we're helping and all of that. And Father, I just thank you for every person in the church here, the gift that they are. Father, I just give you this morning, these next few days, this week, everything you want to do in the next 45, 50 minutes or so, Father, and not just say, but what you want to do in us. And these coming few days this week, that I know for me, Father, I just sense such an important time for us and what that means for the next few years. And so, Father, I just give you this time now, and I don't want to say anything that's just my understanding or my words, Father. I only want to say what are your words and what come from you, or what comes from you, Father. I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you that you want to lift us and encourage us. You want to inspire us, Father. I thank you that as Christians, we can be the most joyful, purpose-orientated, life-giving people in the world because of what you've done for us, who you are in us, the hope that you've put in our lives, the amazing miracles that you've done in probably just about everybody here in terms of just setting us free from everything that has ever separated us from you. The rubbish, the sin, the crud, the hurt, the pain, stuff that just maybe racked our lives and controlled our lives. You have just totally, totally, totally cut off all of those things, dealt with them all. You've put your life in us, which is such an awesome gift. I thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name, Father. Amen. Amen. If you want to sit down, if you're not already. I don't normally get nervous before speaking, but I feel nervous today. So it's either going to be absolutely rubbish or it's going to be good. So I feel edgy, nervously edgy. And when I feel nervously edgy, I don't join in with anything. I'm just looking at everything, thinking it can be a lot better than it is, but it's only because I'm edgy about myself. And so, I mean, everything's great. I'm not moaning at anybody. I'm just, it's me, because I'm edgy. Is that all right? Yeah, thanks. But for me, this is a really important morning. I don't want to overdo it, and I don't want to be heavy either this morning. And but I just believe God wants to just really clarify for us as a church where we are, where we're at, what he's doing. And because of what he's doing, what is he saying? And, you know, the most important thing as Christians is really to find out what is God doing, not what is he saying. If you know what God is doing, then you'll understand what he's saying. So often we want to know what God is saying, and it just is a load of words. But we want to know what God is doing. And when we know what he's doing, we want to join in with him. And when we know what he's doing, then we know what words we need to put, the words that need to go with what he's actually doing. So I just want to recap a little bit over the last couple of months and then kind of give you an understanding of where I kind of understand where we're at and what I believe God is saying to us and how important this week is for us as a church, the revival days that we're going to have Wednesday through Sunday. This isn't an advert to come to meetings, what I'm going to say today, just so that more people turn up. I'd rather 15 people came and we met for a few days and we understood what God is doing than have a load of people come to some meetings. And I just help you understand that we don't put stuff in the diary so that it's another event, because we've all got, you know, stuff to do rather than filling it with loads of stuff to do. And so this week is a really important week for us as a church, as Kingdom Faith, in terms of how we move into the next few years of what God is saying. Now, that might sound a bit grandiose to say that, but actually I really believe that's where we are as a church. So just want to give a bit of a reminder, first of all, of where we are. At the beginning of September, I went away for a couple of days, as you know, and just, I suppose, personally had a fresh encounter with the Lord. And he spoke to me about some stuff in my own life, but also spoke to me about a load of things to do with Kingdom Faith, to do with us as a church. And when I said to the Lord, you know, can you sum all that up, sum it all up in one sentence? You know, God said to me, it's revival for a generation. But then that little phrase that goes with it, which is the important one, which is to earth that revival for a generation, which is turning the tide of a godless society. And I don't know about you, but I don't just want a load of words. I want to see the reality. I want to see the activity of God, the outworking of what God says in my own life personally, but I'm sure you do as well. You want to see whatever God says outworked in a real way in your life, but then also in many other people's lives in relation to what he is saying. And so that sparked a whole load of things. But God spoke to us out of Isaiah 54. And he spoke to us out of Isaiah 54 in the first few verses. And he uses in that situation a picture of Israel being like a barren woman. And the nation of Israel wasn't walking with God at that moment. And he said, you're like a barren woman, but what I want you to do is sing over that barrenness. And as you sing over that barrenness, new life is going to be seeded inside of you. And as you sing, that new life is going to be seeded. But that new life isn't just going to stay within you. It's going to give birth to something new. And in those few verses, it talks about spreading out to the right and to the left. And it talks about your descendants, the offspring that comes from the seed of what I put in you, is going to dispossess nations and settle in desolate cities. Now that has to do with where we're going, okay? And that's what I'm going to explain this morning. And so these two kind of situations, Isaiah 54 and what we're going to look at in a moment, are linked together because this dispossessing nations and settling in desolate cities is what the next few years is all about. And I don't know what you've been doing in your own life, but I know for Jane and I, over the last couple of months, since God's been speaking from Isaiah 54 about singing over our lives and everything that that does, bringing enlargement, bringing stretching, bringing breakthrough, and all kinds of things, that we've been singing a lot more than we normally do. Now, a lot of the time we sing in relation to praise and worship. But God has been saying, I want you to sing over your life. I want to sing. I want you to sing over what I'm saying to you. I want you to sing over what I'm speaking about doing. And part of that singing is to release the purposes of God. Now, why is God saying that? I don't know. What do I mean by that? Well, so often we are used to praying through something. As Christians, we're used to the word pray. And so if God says something, we understand, okay, we need to pray about that. We need to pray that through, as it were. We need to pray that into being. So we understand that biblical concept. We understand what prayer is. But at this moment, as well as praying, God is saying, I want you to sing over your life individually. I want you to sing over your life corporately. I want you to sing over your town. I want you to sing over your nation. Because in the singing, it releases something of the supernatural power of God when we sing and when we worship in the way that God has been speaking about here. It says, burst into song, release something of the supernatural power of who I am as you worship and as you sing. As we've been doing that, we've been seeing breakthroughs in other people's lives, things that have been going on, people that we know that in one sense you could say out the blue have suddenly been turning back to God, or things have been happening and we've been saying, where did that come from? And the thing is, for us, sometimes we might not understand exactly why we need to do certain things, but what we do understand is when God says to do something, when we do it, then he's going to do what he says he's going to do in relation to what we do in response to what he says for us to do. So if he says sing, because there's something of new life that he wants to seed into our own lives that we need to give birth to for this next generation of time, then we better get on and sing over our own lives, sing over the church, sing over the town. Because God's going to seed something and give birth to something as we're obedient to what he says to do. There are some things that God tells us to do that in the natural don't add up. But yet when we obey what he says to do, then he does what he does. So another just recap for a moment. In relation to that, God has been saying, we as Kingdom Faith, we've had one generation of time, last 40 years or so. This is the end now of a five-year transition, the last 5 years of that 40 years. We said in 2005 that we were having a 5 years of transition. What is that? That means Kingdom Faith has operated, functioned, moved, whatever, with God in a certain way in that generation of time. And in this last 5 years or so, God has been, let's use this phrase, turning the church inside out. He's been changing some of our thinking. He's been changing the way we see things. He's been working in us to help us to understand that the way he has done things is not the way he is doing things and going to do things. That the way certain things have been done in the way that we are as Kingdom Faith, they're not going to be like that anymore, because God has done what he's done in that generation of time. And now he said, I want to do something in this generation of time, and therefore I've not finished with you. I want to take you into something totally new, but you've got to be ready for what that is and what that means. You've got to adapt to me and what I'm doing in this season of time. And so this 5 years, in one sense, it's like we've been camping. And we're going to look at Joshua in a moment, because this is where we're going to just focus on for the rest of the morning in terms of the first few chapters of Joshua and what God was saying to the people there and how that relates to us as Kingdom Faith at this moment and what it means for us now, today, this week, and in the next few weeks, so that we come into everything that God has been promising as we come into the new year. So we've had this 5 year transition. And we're right at the end of that, right at the end of the 5th year of this transition. In 2005, we changed the whole leadership structure of Kingdom Faith. Pastor Colin stepped down from being the senior pastor and took more of an apostolic oversight to the whole of Kingdom Faith. I became the senior pastor. We put a new leadership team in place. We changed the way we organize and manage the whole of Kingdom Faith, including all the relating churches and how the whole thing operates and works. And that's been great for the last 5 years. as we've been just getting our heads around and our hearts around what God is saying, how he's redefining who we are as a people and what and how we're going to express that life in the 21st century from 2010 onwards. But it's taken 5 years for us to get to this point where we're ready for what God wants to do. Let's have a look at Joshua, shall we? Because that'll put it in a bit more of a context and understand, help us to understand exactly what God is saying at the moment and where we are really as a church. Great. I believe these are really these are exciting days, and there's already the glimmers, the glimpses, if you like, of some things already beginning to happen. Now, God seems to work in seasons, and how many of you know that He is wise and He knows what He's doing? We want everything to happen now, don't we? Today. But yet God isn't moved by us wanting it all to happen today. He's got a plan, He's got a purpose, and He's out working it. What we need to do is try and understand what is He doing at any given time so that we can go move with Him in terms of what He's doing. God can change a nation in a day if He wants to. If He did it in a day, I don't think we'd have a clue and understand what He's doing. If He changed a nation in a day, I think all of us would be completely dumbfounded. We wouldn't even know how to cooperate with God if He changed it in a day. How many of you know it takes a while to change a mindset, a way of thinking? And some of that, that's what God has been doing in these last 5 years, trying to help us have a different way of thinking and seeing who we are, but how He wants to move and how He wants to outwork things. In Joshua here in chapter 1, we know the story well. We're not using this analogy of Moses and Joshua here. One is finished, the other one's now taken over. We're not using that as our example. What we're going to look at is what did God say to the nation of Israel in terms of how they were to come into their promised land, how they were to come into their inheritance, how they were to come into everything that God had been promising them for generations, how they were to come into that in their day, in their time. And so if we just have a quick look at the beginning of chapter 1 here, it talks about the death of Moses and so on. But in verse 2 it says, "Moses my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites." What was God doing? He's saying, you've been camping, now it's time to strike camp. Now for us as Kingdom Faith, in the last 5 years, we've been moving forward, but in one sense, let's use this analogy, we've been camping. While we've been camping, God has been working in us and amongst us, helping to change some of our thinking, our understanding of what He's saying, but how we're to respond to what He's saying and how we're to then express that life that He is talking about. How does He want us to move with Him as we come into this new generation of time, as we come into 2010, as we come into what God is? I know we don't just use spiritual language, we've got to earth this in reality, but let's just to help us understand. As we come into our inheritance or our promised land, as it were, we need to understand that the way we work with God is different there than it has been here. You see, in the wilderness, they were on a journey to get somewhere. When they were in the promised land, they were there. You see, when you're in the wilderness on the journey, you might have some battles, but you're having a battle on the way through to somewhere else. So you're just defending yourself, pushing your enemy back so you can get to where you're going. Once you're in the promised land, you're not on your way through to somewhere else. You're there to establish and possess what God has said is your inheritance, is our inheritance. Therefore, we're there to dispossess what is there that shouldn't be there. So we're not just on our way through saying, well, we'll just defend here and keep moving here and continue to do the way we have been. God is saying, this moment, now, today, this week, these few weeks, we're crossing over into what God is saying is our possession. Now, for us, it's people. There is land linked to it because we all live in towns and God wants to transform towns and communities, right? But how does He transform towns and communities? By transforming people. So we're not talking about dispossessing towns and marching round the walls of Horsham and it all falls down and that kind of stuff. We're not talking about that. We're talking about everything that has built itself up around people's lives to keep them in captivity or whatever. Those things are going to be coming down. So it's if you like, dispossessing lives. It's repossessing lives. It's repossessing communities. It's seeing a transformation in communities where we, in this journey, have been saying that's where we're going and we're going to see that take place. We're on our way there. But God is saying now, you've been camping right on the edge of this thing for the last 5 years. I've been helping you to redefine your thinking, some of who you are, the way you do things, the way you understand what I'm doing. And now, at this moment, right now, he is crossing us over into this. As we come into 2010, we begin to possess that which God has been promising for a generation of time. So this generation of time is about possessing what God has been promising. Now, as we do that, there's something of God that begins to happen that in our natural minds, what's the difference between today and a few weeks' time? What have I got to do that's any different here than over here for something to happen? Well, there's an element of there's God that does something that none of us can, that changes the climate, that changes the environment, that changes what goes on. But there's something that we do in relation to that that responds to God's initiative, that then something happens on the inside of us in relation to what God does, so that the way we think and see and act is different here than it has been here. And that's what we're going to describe. Now, are you with me or am I losing you? If I'm losing you, stick your hand in the air or something. I haven't got a clue what you're talking about or where you're going, all right? Because we all need to understand what we're saying. I don't just want to use pictorial language, although it's helpful to describe stuff, but we've got to earth this in reality. What is God saying and what is he doing? Okay, let's have a read through this. Then he says here, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Now, we've talked about this before, but the word set there actually is in those days. They would get a bow and arrow and they would get a bow and place it on the ground with the end sticking up. They'd put their foot on it and then they would pull up the bow and lift it up with the arrow in it. That's called setting. All right, you set yourself, you set your weapon to the target. And that's what it means. Wherever you set your foot, where you position yourself for the target, to hit the target, all right? And that's what that means there. It's not just wherever you just fancy walking. It's where you set yourself, where I put you, and the place that I want to give you. It's talking about possessing something, setting something, hitting the target of something, okay? So God is speaking very specific. I'll give you every place where you target your foot, where you put your foot, where you're going to tread, okay, in your lives. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend and it is on all of that. No one but here will stand up against you all the days of your life. As I did Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. See, what is this all about? This is all about what happens out there. This has mainly been about what happens in here and in a building. But the promised land is not, of course God's going to, you know, buildings and whatnot, but it's what happens out there that this promised land is all about. The promised land is not about just having a great party as Christians. The promised land isn't about just going, yay, we're here, that's it, hallelujah, end of journey. Coming into what God is saying is just the beginning. So let's read on a minute. What does he say here? There's a number of things as part of the... So he's saying, get ready, guys. You're going on a journey. You're striking camp. You're right on the edge of the Jordan, as it were. And you're going to now go across into the promises, the fulfillment of things. Now, they didn't... They came into the promised land, but then they had to go city by city, didn't they? And sometimes here, we want the plan and the strategy for over there. But how many of you know that it was only once they got in there that God gave them the plan to take each place? But they took each place together. It wasn't just a few. They went together to take each place, to dispossess, if you like, each city and town that they went to. But there was an order, but they only got those plans of actions once they were in. What God was concerned about at this point, if this is the river, as it were, they were camping right on the edge, and God says, get ready. And in these few verses here, when it talks, verse 10 onwards, he said to Joshua, get the officers to go through the camp and get everybody ready, get the supplies ready, get everybody's tents packed up, because you're crossing over now. You're about to go over into what I've been promising you as a nation and for us as a church. And so the officers went through, began to get the people ready. But let's have a look at their response. The people's response. Let's have a look. He talked about the tribes all working together to dispossess the land and to get their inheritance. But then he says here in verse 14, your wives and your children and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. Now, there's something about the part that the men have to play in the promised land that is going to be essential for us as a church. That's right. Yeah. Joshua says here, the fighting men need to go over ahead. Now, as I've been praying and Jane and I have been praying, God's been speaking to me about men in the church here. And quite a number of blokes have been saying recently, you know, what's happening with the men's ministry? When are we going to get this, that and the other going and all of that? Well, for me, I've not wanted to have a men's ministry where we just have events and once every 3 months we all rock up to an event, have an event and then we wait for the next one. That doesn't do anything. That's just a program of events and activity. See, God's way of thinking is not for us just to have a series of events or meetings or activities that is men's ministry. Or I don't believe God wants us to have men's ministry. I don't believe he wants us to have women's ministry either. I don't believe he wants us to have youth ministry or children's ministry. Because then it makes it sound like we put everybody in a certain box and they need a certain type of ministry to affect them. God looks at all of us and calls us his body, calls us his church. And he says, I want every age group, every part, whether male or female, young or old, I want every part of my body, every part of the church to be who I've called them to be as part of the body, to possess this land, to see the fulfillment of my promises to you, to see the town, the community, the region, the nation impacted, because my body rises in response to what I'm saying and doesn't just pigeonhole me to work in a ministry or in an event or a program just to keep us happy, feeling like there's something going on for my age group or my gender. It's more about where is our place in what God is saying and doing. In the new year, I can't go into the details now because we haven't got time, but in the new year, for the blokes, and this is for who wants to be involved in this. This isn't everybody sign up. We might get five blokes. I don't mind. But in the new year, in January, for about 40 days, we're going to do something with whichever blokes want to be involved in this. And whoever gets involved in this, your life is going to be radically changed within 40-day period. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm just going to leave it at that. Okay? And you think, so what is it? You'll find out in the next few weeks. But it's going to be part of fresh move of God in this church with all the blokes. And if all the blokes have a fresh move of God, then all the women are also going to have a fresh move of God in their lives. It means every family of where the dad or the male is involved is also going to have a fresh move of God in that family. But God is saying the fighting men have got to go ahead. The men have got to go ahead of everybody else, because that's what God's saying. So that 40 days is then going to cause something to begin that's going to continue. But it's not about a program and it's not about an activity and it's not about events. That's all I'm going to say about that one. And we'll give you a bit more info in the next few weeks as to what that is going to look like and what that's going to mean for all the blokes. But then it says here, that they're going to occupy the land which Moses has, you know, marked out. But then it says to in verse 16, this is another key. The blokes are going to be a key, all right? But also another one here, verse 16. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. We're not going to go that far. Only be strong and courageous. What's that talking about? They moved as one man, as one body, as one people. They were all together. They got the word of the Lord and they all went, we are all going. There was a unity. There was a oneness. Everybody rose and said, we are going together. Nobody's going to be left behind. Then as we go into chapter 3, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from that nice place there and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are the Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Okay? So these guys, they're camping, it says within 3 days. They're not talking about in 3 months or 3 years' time. What they're talking about is today. Now is the time. What did God say to us as part of the Isaiah 54 stuff a few weeks ago? He spoke to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where he said, now is the time, today is the day. Of what? Now is the time of my favor, now is the day of my salvation. Then he repeats it in the next verse in 2 Corinthians 6 and makes it emphasize it even more. Guys, look, listen, now is that time, now is that day. And so he was saying to these guys, get ready because now is that time, now is that day. This isn't preparation for something that's going to come in a few years' time. These are a few days now where you respond to me and you cross over and then you will be in what I've been promising for generations of time. You now come into that which I've been promising. But look at the people's response. Chapter 4. Let's do something else first, and we'll come to that in a moment. Let's have a look. Then, so it says to these guys, go through the camp, give orders. So they went and gave orders. When you see the Ark of the Covenant, what is that? The Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. And so he's saying, when you see the presence of God go before you and you see the priest standing in the river holding the Ark of the Covenant, where you see the presence of God, that's when you move. And what does it say here? It says, then you will know which way to go since you have never been this way before. So what's God saying? You might have seen all kinds of incredible stuff. You might have been in all kinds of moves of God. You might have been in all kinds of revivals. You might have seen all kinds of stuff happening. You might have read books on all kinds of things. But now when you see what the presence of God is doing, where God is moving, I'm taking you somewhere where nobody has ever been before in your day. God's not taking us round in another circle to take us through what we've been through before. What he's saying is you're now leaving that and crossing over into something totally new. You've never been in the promised land before. You've never been in the fullness of my promises before. You've never been in your inheritance in the way that I'm bringing you into it now. You've never seen people saved and changed and the kind of things I'm going to be doing in a way that it happens in this place here. You've never seen your nation transformed like you're going to see in this time here. You've never seen society transformed in a way that you're going to see here. You've never seen your community radically impacted with the gospel in the way you're going to see it here. You've never seen the kind of believers, the kind of faith, the kind of love that's going to be in operation here than it has been there. Because what you need for here, you didn't need over there. But what you need here is what I'm giving and pouring into your life now so that you can see me work through you and do what I'm saying here that you didn't need over there. So there's something that God is doing, but there's something that we respond to him in so that whatever he wants to seed into us in these few days that he's already working on, we can give birth to. So we've never been this way before. I was chatting to Pastor Colin about this the other day. And we were saying, you know, none of us have been here. I said, even you haven't been here before. You've been in some great moves of God and some revivals. But none of us have ever been here. What else does it say? Verse 5. Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. What's he saying? Get ready! It's tomorrow. What does that mean? It's right now. It's not next year. It says tomorrow. It's immediate. It's like, quick, guys, get ready. I'm moving. You've got to move with me. Don't stay there and wait and say, well, I'll wait here until I see something happen. You won't see it unless you move. You can't stand here and say, I'll believe it when I see it. Because they wouldn't see what God said until they stepped into it and they heard, how do we take Jericho? Then when they responded, they began to see it take place. So this whole journey is a journey of faith. This crossing over was a step of faith into what God has said. So they had to prepare themselves, get themselves ready, pack everything up. We're going in, guys. We're going in. This is it. What does it say in verse 4, chapter 4, down in verse 10, I think it is. Now the priests who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan. You see, why is the presence of God so important? God is speaking to us about singing. So there's something about that singing, about praise, about worship, about releasing the supernatural presence of God. There's something about that supernatural dynamic of God that is released through worship, through the singing, that is all part of the presence of God going before us, opening the way so that we can come into the fullness of what he's saying. I don't understand that in the natural. Why is he saying that? We can look at different things in the Bible that when the people of God praised God and they went out ahead of the people, God confounded the enemy. The enemies of the nation of Israel turned against each other. And then the people just came in and plundered what was there. You know, I'm sure part of the praising is God dealing with the enemy, pushing things out of the way, creating that space for us to come across into. I don't understand all of that. And probably nobody really does. But if God's saying do something, let's just do it. And submit our intellect and our thinking, our experience to him and saying, well, if you're saying it, let's just do it. Sometimes it might be a bit odd. Sometimes it might feel weird. Sometimes it might be a bit unusual. But God is God and I'm not and we're not. And so let's just do what he says. If we do what he says, maybe we'll get the understanding of why he said it later. But so often we want to know the ABCs or the XYZs before we do anything. And that's not what faith is. Faith is God says something, we respond and he does it. God doesn't say, when you understand it all, then I'll do it. He just says, just do it. Now the priests who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people. So they had to get ready, they had to consecrate, they had to prepare themselves, they had to pack everything up, they had to stir themselves. They're like, this is it, we're leaving the wilderness. We are never, ever, ever coming back there again. Because we're now coming into inheritance time. What does it say here, though? I love this verse here. The people hurried over. The people hurried over. They didn't hear the word of the Lord. Hey, guys, you're about to come into what I've been promising you. Yeah, right. You're about to come into the promises. All right, well, let's get ready and get moving then. Come on, Reuben, get your tribe ready. Get them going. They were like, yes, it's time. We're coming in. God has spoken. We've been on the edge of this for donkey's years. And at last, we're going to come into everything. We're going to come into the fullness of everything God has promised in. Come on, let's go. If somebody this morning said, you've got an inheritance of £1 million, you can go and get it straight after the meeting, I don't think you'd spend much time chatting to people afterwards. You'd be out the door, down the bank, card in there. Look at that. You'd draw from it, would you not? You would hurry down to the cash point. Firstly, to check, is it really in there? Why? Because suddenly somebody's put something in your hand. If for years somebody said, one day you're going to have £1 million, one day you're going to have £1 million, you'd be like, brilliant, one day I'm going to have it, one day I'm going to... But if then another day somebody said, today's the day. Quick, get ready, get dressed, have a shower. Because once you're ready to get out of the house, you can get your inheritance. You're not going to run... Well, you might do if you knew you had £1 million, run down the road in your pyjamas or your boxers. I don't know what you might do. Put your dressing gown on. You might grab your wife. She wouldn't care if you had £1 million in the bank. You'd put her fluffy slippers on. You'd run down the road. If all the people, what's the matter with you? I don't care. I've got £1 million in the bank. Nothing would put you off, would it? You wouldn't have your breakfast. You wouldn't have a cup of tea. You wouldn't take your time. You'd just grab anything and get down there to get what's being given to you. That's what their attitude was when Moses sent the word through, and they, God said, look at the presence of God. And they were like, I can imagine, they were like, where's the presence of God? Where's the presence? Come on, quick. Come on, God. There's the ark. Can we go? Come on. He said they hurried over. Why? Because they wanted to get in here, because they knew here it was going to be amazing. Now, what else does this place look like? Let's just turn to Isaiah 43 for a moment. I don't just want to talk about a theory, you know, so it's like the promised land and all of that. And we're like, yeah, right, you know. See, what is revival? Revival is really living the gospel. That's what revival is. Revival is living, it's not just preaching the gospel, it's living the gospel. We've been talking a bit about this recently, and I think in one or two of the keynotes that Pastor Colin's done recently, he's talked about this, and he's spoken a couple of times recently here, particularly the one in September when he brought the word, and it was just electric atmosphere in here that morning in terms of the faith level. But all he was doing was just reminding us of what the gospel is. And revival is living the gospel. Living totally that the old has gone, that you've been forgiven through the blood of Jesus, but the cross has crucified us, our old life, dead and buried. The whole lot is gone, and now we've been given a completely new life in Christ. Amen. And that it's we don't have to try and live any longer. It's His life in us, and all that means then in terms of the fullness of who He is, the inheritance that then we have as a believer. The spirit that we have on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be a person of the Spirit and being led? The gospel really is living the fullness of the gospel. That's what revival really is, in an undiluted way, an uncompromising way. And this week, as we meet together, we're going to encounter God in the gospel. I mean, it's going to be a real week of celebration this week. It's not going to be flat on the floor, chewing the carpet, and oh God, there's something else wrong with me and I've got to get something else sorted before anything's going to happen. No, God's saying, look, you've had all that time over here. Now it's quick, get ready and hurry over into what I'm saying. So what are these few days about? It's not about, oh God, there's something else wrong with me. I'm still not there yet. I think God's saying sometimes, I've had enough of that as well. Just get off the floor and let's get going. God's big enough to point out stuff on the way, you know, when we're in here, if he's still, you know, I'm sure there's always stuff in us that needs sorting out. But God's not saying today, you're a mess, get yourself sorted for goodness sake before I can get you over. He's saying to us, today's it. Now's the time. This is it. It's inheritance time. Today. Now. Quick. Come on. Cross over. There's something of my spirit that is being released already, but you're going to step into the fullness of. We've seen some things happen in people's lives in these last few weeks. Leon, down the front here. Stand on the front. Leon, just stand up a minute, mate. This is Leon. Let's just welcome him, shall we? Cheers, bud. Leon, he gave his life to the Lord on Demo 9 morning, 2 Sundays ago, yeah? And he's had radical change in his life. even in 2 weeks. I mean, he's read, I don't know if you've read the whole of the truth yet, have you? You have. In 2 weeks, he's read the whole of the truth. In 2 weeks, because he can't get enough of it. He was saying to me at his work, instead of nipping out to have a fag and looking at Facebook, he's now nipping out, instead of a fag break, he's having a truth break, and he's reading the truth and everything. But you see, it's the depth and the degree of what God does here that we're only praying for over here and longing to see. We're here, it happens. But God said to us a little while ago, he said, look, as you cross over as a church, there's some things that are going to start to happen already to show you, to encourage you. It's not just a load of theory. And then, all right, whatever, what the heck's going on? Let's cross over. What does that mean? There's something that God, I don't understand this either, right? Fully. But, you know, when we get together for a few days, something happens. Something happens. Something of God can happen that changes everything. But at the same time, what has changed? But you just know you've changed, I've changed, we've changed, and something's happened. And that's what these few days are about. It's not that God's saying there's loads of stuff wrong with you. It's like, I want you to cross over as a people together into this. Now, what is this? What is this really? Let's have a read, shall we? Isaiah 43, verse 18 onwards. These are, I mean, the first verse we're going to read is, I mean, everybody's read this, preached it, prayed it, prophesied it and everything, right? But it's what follows that people then don't normally read into or follow through. Let's look at verse 18. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. How many of you know when they got in here, they didn't think about that back there, did they? They were just totally consumed with what was happening here. When you're here, a lot of the time, we don't want to be here anymore. We don't want to be in this wilderness. We are sick of it. We just want to be where God wants us to be. But how many of you know you've got to be where God wants here in order to get there? But once they were here, they weren't going, oh, wish I were back in the wilderness. While they were here, they kept saying, when's it going to happen? We should go back to here. We should do this. We should do that. We should do the other. But when they got here, they were like, never want to go there again. This is awesome. But it cost them everything. Anyway, let's just read a moment. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Everybody said? Amen. And that's where most people stop reading. But where is he making those things? God is not making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland here. Where he's doing that is here. Why? Let's have a look. Because in here, where we're, you know, in here, in this inheritance place, there are wild animals and they will honor me. The jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen. God is saying, the wild animals, the jackals and the owls, people out there that seem so far away from God, they're so caught up in darkness, in crime, in just whatever's going on in their lives. God's saying, that's why I'm taking you into the promised land. It's not for us to have a big party. It's for us to see the wild animals, the jackals and the owls come into God's kingdom. Because he says here, that's why I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. So the wild animals, they honor me. We're going to see people out there honor God that is completely impossible over here. But because it's God's time, it's going to happen here. You see, what happens when the sun goes down? All sorts of stuff kicks off out there, doesn't it? When the sun goes down, everybody comes out to play. In the day, I mean, it's all going on 24 hours a day now, isn't it? But things are done in secret. People's bedrooms, in people's studies, on the internet. There's all of that that goes on now because of the accessibility of it all. Whether it's whatever it is, pornography through to gambling, through to all the stuff that goes on. But also when the sun goes down, people come out to play. That's when a lot of crime takes place. That's when there's a whole underworld out there. There's all sorts of stuff that goes on out there. Wild animals, jackals and owls. What's God saying? This is where it's all going on. It's not happening over there. It's here. So what is the promised land all about? When it says dispossessing nations and settling in desolate cities, it's talking about people. What does it say in this verse? Because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink. Listen to this. He calls the jackals, the owls and the wild animals. He says to give drink to my people, my chosen. That's what he says about all the people that are outside of his kingdom. He says, I've chosen. They're my people. I want them to come into everything that we've already got. To the people I formed, look at this, to the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Wow. So this over here, this is the reality biting bit that we're talking about now. So this is the buy-in moment. Because If we could make this sound like this is just going to be one big party for the Christians. Promised land, inheritance, hallelujah. And it will be a party. But how many of you know when they came to promised land, they had to change the way they operated as a nation? See, here, they were just moving from one place to the next to try and get to where they were. Here, they had to begin to dispossess towns and cities. They had to see a transformation take place. They had to know the plan of God each step of the way. They had to know the plan of God there, but they had to know what to do here. When they went towards Jericho, God gave them a plan, nuts plan, crazy, illogical, no reason to it whatsoever, outside of any logic. But he said, just walk around every day, once a day for 6 days. Seventh day, seven times. On the seventh time, shout your heads off, blow your trumpets, and you'll take the city. You can imagine them all sitting there listening to Joshua thinking, this is more crazy than over there. Is there something in the water in the Jordan he took a sip of on the way over? And, you know, Moses was out there a little bit, but at least, you know, he kind of is a bit more to it. But Joshua now, it's like, we're just going to walk and blow trumpets and have a shout. Look at the size of the city. Look at the, you know. But yet they did it, and what happened? You see, also in the city there was, God said to them, there's loads of plunder. It's not that in that city, it's not for you, it's for the, bring it into the temple, bring it into the tent of meeting, it's mine, right? What does that mean? Where we're going, what we're about to step into, there's loads of provision for the vision, for the purposes of God. Whether it's in our pockets already, and it just needs to be released over a period of time or whatever, or whether God brings it from elsewhere, that's up to him. But God does, you know, we give what we've got and he'll give them what we don't have to move. He's always said that. He said, you give what you've got and then I'll give what you haven't got to supply for what I'm where I'm taking you. But here, there's loads of provision already for the vision. But also, when they went to Ai, what did God say? Okay, they blew it the first time because they went with such an excitement about getting Jericho. They just did their own thing with Ai. They got chased away. Then they got before God and God showed them how to take the city. They did what God said. They took the city. But with the plunder there, God said, you can have it. So with Jericho, he said, no, that's mine. Bring it into the tent. Bring it into the tent of meeting. You know, bring it before me. That's mine. You can't have it. That's why he was upset when somebody put some of it in his own tent. Well, one guy did something. The whole nation couldn't move forward. So it's important what takes place here, that we move forward together. That it's not, well, I've got a plan, I've got a plan, I've got a vision, I've got a thing, I'll do my own thing. Man, we're never going to get anywhere if we operate like that. But if we move together in what God's saying, we're going to see loads and loads of things happen. in people's lives. And when they went to AI, God said, you can keep that yourself. Get all the plunder and share it with everybody. Now, that doesn't mean this is a get-rich-quick scheme and we're all going to become wealthy. That is not what that means. But what God is saying is that it's a place of blessing. It's a place where there's more than enough. It's a place of overflow. It's a place of abundance. So it's a place of blessing individually and for families, but also as a body, as a church, and for the vision and how we move forward. There's enough for all of it. Let's link in the next thing. What is this place about? Making disciples is going to become absolutely critical here. Amen. See here, a lot of the same people, okay, a whole generation couldn't go in because they moaned and grumbled all the way. And so a whole generation missed out on coming in here. But the difference, you know, the same group of people were basically moving together. When we came into here, we come across a whole load of new people. It's not just about us occupying something or coming into a spiritual place with God where we all have a great time. This is about what happens out there. It's not about having incredible meetings and brilliant spiritual experiences. This, where we're going now, what God is doing right now, what He's been preparing us for, what He's trying to be working on in our understanding, our mindsets, our thinking, and all of that. And that's why some people have left. Because they don't... They say they want to go here, but they don't. And God spoke to Jane and I a couple of years ago and said, in the next couple of years, you're going to have a bit of a Gideon thing happening here and you're going to have people leaving for various reasons. But don't be put off by that. You just keep charting the course and keep going forward. And some people that have been here for a long time are going to leave. Now, God said that to us 2 years ago. And we've seen some people who have been in the church for a long time leave during the last year for various reasons. Now, we've been praying for them, speaking blessing and all of that over their lives, even though they've left right or wrongly or whatever. And God said, I'm going to do a Gideon, and the people that are going to be left here by the end of the transition, by the end of this year, this is what God said, by the end of 2009, the people that are here are going to be the people that really want to be here, who really want to be part of what I'm doing here and taking you into everything that I've been promising. So you can do what you like with that, but I'm just saying what God said to us a couple of years ago before, you know, some of the stuff that's happened in the last year or so with a few individuals. So we haven't been fazed by that. We've been like, you know, it's hard to handle sometimes because there's friends involved and everything. But in this place here, making disciples is going to be absolutely essential. What happens with the blokes in the new year is going to be part of what happens in terms of men beginning to make disciples of other men, beginning to reach men that are unsaved and seeing those men saved, beginning to disciple those. There's some wild animals out there. God's going to tame them. There's some jackals out there. God's going to sort them. There's some owls out there. God's going to bring them into the light and totally transform them. There's families out there. When the bloke gets saved, the whole family's going to come through. There's households out there. When the bloke has a breakthrough, the whole family's going to have a breakthrough. See, life here is different. It's not about me. Can we have a men's ministry? Can we have an event? The whole thinking is different here. It's about, now, what can I put into somebody else? Because places are going to be dispossessed. What does that mean? All the ites are here. The whatever ites there are, they're all here. Now, what does that mean in reality? Ites are like, all the stuff that people are captive with in their lives, all the stuff that's going on that separates them from God, it's all that stuff that's going to be, we're going to get victory over, we're going to see breakthroughs in, see people set free from, and all of that. It's all those ites or whatever. They're not people. It's enemy activity. It's all sorts of stuff that affects people and controls people, manipulates people, whatever. Other religions and life philosophies, all of that lot. We're going to see some incredible things, all the ites overcome. So making disciples is going to become absolutely essential here. So we'll be looking at some of that as well in the new year, about how to make disciples and all of that. But with the blokes, all of us blokes are going to be absolutely essential here. Listen, I want to look at one more verse, if that's all right. Is that okay? And then we'll just pray before we finish. Just quickly look back at Joshua chapter 14. I don't know if I mentioned this on one of the Sundays in September or not. I can't quite remember. But listen to this. Because this is what our response is. Chapter 14, let's look at verse 10. This is Caleb. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So this is Caleb, right? He's 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. That's cool. So he was just, 45 years later or whatever, he was just as strong as he was, 85 as he was when he was young. He was still living with the same thing in him, this vision and all that. Then he says, I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. What a great heart and spirit. Look what he says now. Now, verse 12. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. What he's saying is, in the land, God, you promised me this. I want it and I want it now. Now, that's the kind of prayer. That's the kind of heart. That's the kind of attitude here. God, you've promised us this life. You've promised us this family. You've promised us this housing area. You've promised us this community. You've promised us this town. You've promised us places in the 25-mile radius. You promised us things about the nation. Now give us our inheritance. Put it into our hands. We want it now. Because Caleb was like, I've lived for something here for ages and for years and for decades. Now I'm in it. That spirit that says everything that I've been living for now is the time. Give it to me. God loves that. And what they do, they gave him what was his inheritance. Then Joshua blessed Caleb and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of John and Billy, ever since, because he followed the Lord. I can't pronounce those words. Listen to this, though. Because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Here, very interesting attitudes going on. Here, there was a wholeheartedness. Let's stand. Come on. Hopefully it's made sense in some ways. I've been sort of, there's more stuff, but there's probably 25 different ways to communicate this stuff, and I don't want it just to be a theory. But there's something this week that God is starting this morning, that he's already started over the last couple of months. I know the last few weeks we had the baptism. It was brilliant seeing so many people baptized last week, and the demo 9 before, again, 3 people got saved that morning, and just great to see what's going on, and people to plug in and get more involved and everything. And it's like, but we've had to just sort of wait for today, in one sense, to just communicate some of this stuff. And we've got revival days this week, and these days are going to be really important. This is going to be a great week of celebration. I tell you, it is not going to be a heavy, like, oh, are you going to the meeting tonight? Oh, yeah. Are you going, I don't know if I can hack it. No, it's going to be like, man, I'm going to get there because it's going to be amazing. Because we're a great time of celebration. God wants to encourage us. Pastor Colin, I was chatting to him a few weeks ago and in one of the elders' meetings, and he said something interesting. He said, there seems to be two ways to come into revival. He said, either through repentance that way, where there's a lot of repentance, a lot of dealings with God and all of that kind of thing, then come into blessing. Or there seems to be a way that God brings people into right through blessing that will at some point involve repentance, but it's more repentance that happens on the way. And he said, I've only ever been to one place where I've seen that blessing route. All the other places I've been to or happened in Kingdom Faith has been more the repentance route and the things I've read about. But there's only been one place, which was in Argentina, where they went through the blessing route. And also in Luton, when the revival started there in the Anglican church in Luton, that started with blessing. And he said, it's interesting, he said, it seems to be repentance is normally the way that God brings people into revival and blessing seems to be quite a, doesn't normally happen that way. But he said it seems to be the way God is speaking to us and what he's saying, that he's taken us through that route of blessing. And he said, you know, when we look at coming into the promised land, it's all about the blessings, the blessing, the abundance and all of that of God. And we were saying that we've been through a lot of this kind of stuff of meeting with God. Not, well, no, let's not use that because we're going to continue to meet with God. Where God's been dealing with us and doing this and that and the other and all of that. And now God is saying, come on, now's the time, guys. I'm sure this, you know, but what he said was, it's interesting, when God brings people into revival through blessing, they are, because God so overdoes it, so goes over the top, that people are so overcome with the goodness, with the abundance, with the blessing of God, that they're like, I want to live right for God. I don't want to do anything that would displease God, because they're so overwhelmed with the goodness and the blessing of God. They don't take it for granted. They're like, God, I just want to, I want to honor you and please you because you are just so incredible. And that seems to be the way that God is taking us. So when we talk about revival days, it's not, oh, here we go. Wednesday night, there's bound to be something else that's wrong with me. I'll just wait for that moment when whoever's speaking says, all right, everybody on the floor, repent. You dirty, groveling bunch of snivellers and all of that. I think God wants to encourage us. Say, come on, guys, hurry over, hurry over, hurry over, come on. When I went away for those 2 days, I don't know what happened in me. I can't tell you, but something happened. I don't know what happened. Something happened. So I can't say to you that on Wednesday night, Friday night, Thursday morning, Saturday morning, Sunday, this is going to happen. I don't know, but something is going to happen in you that's going to change the way you see everything. Now, something's already going on amongst us, but there's something about this week. And please hear me, it's not about just having meetings, okay? It's giving God some space to do. If the meetings are an hour long, great. If they're a bit longer than that, great. But what's more important is that we cross over, that we hurry over, that we're quick to respond. And there's a number of things in the first few chapters of Joshua that in the VIP the other night we prayed through, praying through the journey, getting ready. It says, be bold, be courageous. The other thing really, really important, it says there in the first chapter of Joshua is about... make sure that you stick to the word, the law, you know, the word, as it were. Not the law as in, you know, okay, that meant that for them. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to obey everything that is written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. See, God's saying the gospel, he wants the gospel to come alive in us in a fresh way. The power of the gospel work in us and then through us in a fresh way. It's the gospel that doesn't leave our lips. It's the gospel that is going to be proclaimed. But it's the power of God that's going to come with that gospel. But it's today, it's now, it's what God's already started. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just take a couple of moments to pray and then we need to finish because of the time. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. I don't know where you are now. Just talk to the Lord, respond to him and just tell him whether you're ready or not. And God is saying to us, come on, break camp, guys. Strike camp. Today is that striking of camp, saying, right, let's go. Let's get ready. Father, I'm here. I'm available. I'm going to tell the rest of my family, as it were. Come on, let's get ready. We're going over. Father, I thank you for that. These days that we're in at the moment, today, this week, the coming few weeks, as you just revive the gospel in us afresh. We thank you for the vision and the direction today, linking that up with what you're saying about Isaiah 54 and everything. Father, we thank you that the church you describe in Isaiah 54 is going to be full of wild animals and jackals and owls, and this promised land is going to be full of people that are totally transformed, that can say, I once was a wild animal, I once was a jackal, I once was an owl, but now God has done this for me and I praise his holy name. He is awesome and I honor him for that. Father, I thank you. It's those people that we're going to be discipling, investing our lives into and really giving our lives to see a multitude of people come right through in this church and in the other towns in this region and anywhere else where we can just serve the body of Christ. Father, I know I'm available. I'm ready. I want to cross over. I don't want to hold back, Father. Whatever it is that needs to be a freshness in me in terms of the gospel, the power of your word, the life and the dynamic of your spirit, then do that in me in these few days. I thank you for what you are doing, but I want to continue to move forward. I want to hurry across, Father, into what you're doing and what you're saying. Father, I pray for the men in the church here this morning. In these coming days, the men will be right on the front foot of everything going on. That we won't be secondary to the ladies saying, well, you go and pray or you go to this, or, well, the women are like this, that and the other. Why not the blokes? Father, I thank you for the men of God in this church, from the young to the old, to every man, whether a boy, a teenager, or now in adulthood. Father, I thank you for the men in this place, the warriors, Father, the fighting men who are going to go out before the people carrying the presence of God along with the priests, who are going to break the way open to see the whole body come through, to see households transformed. Father, I thank you for men of purpose, men of destiny, men of hope, men of faith, men of love, men of vision. Father, I thank you for raising up men who are going to be fathers. Fathers to a generation that is fatherless. Father, it's over to you now in these few days to do what only you can do. To do only what you can do. We can just respond to you. Father, you do what only you can do in terms of we're ready to go over and we're breaking camp, striking camp. Thank you that as we worship, we hold up the presence of God, that we can see where we go and you lead us in. Father, we thank you. We praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray for everybody right now that this week will be a marker point in everybody individually, but also for us as a people. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.